If you're like Mike and driving down the road, you get rear-ended by some unsuspecting driver. If you've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they get your back. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got mine. They could get yours, too, if you call today. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine's day, because demand the best. That's the difference between Anajar and Levine. It takes that one phone call. Take back control of your life today. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Mike and I did not know it was Rosh Hashanah today. Steve Pollitt Sr. made sure we knew that. That was a problem. Didn't realize. All right.
Yeah,
I think you got to be attached to a school.
I thought it was a bad look. It was a bad look by us, I thought. We should know, you know, the president of the company.
Christian, did you know it was Rosh Hashanah today?
No, I didn't.
I feel like if you're attached to a school, you know.
Yeah, it's like
kids, you know, they're staying home from school.
We went out into the bullpen
where
all our other, you know, teammates are, and it was a mixed bag. Some didn't know, some knew. One of them scolded us for not knowing and decided to look at our surroundings. I don't know. I thought it was our president is Jewish and we should have known that it was Rosh Hashanah.
Is Rosh Hashanah, doesn't the date change every year?
Asking the wrong guys.
You are. I have no idea.
888-760.
I am a disgrace because my cousin Lucas and Carly and my uncle Jamie, like they are Jewish. So like I should know
more.
Would
you have texted them Happy New Year?
I probably would have. I probably would have reached out to Lucas and Carly today if I knew that. And
it changes every year. So my uncle, I can't knock us for not knowing this.
My uncle Jamie, Catholic. Obviously, he married a Jewish woman. My auntie Elisa. So like I should know some of these things, but
I didn't know that.
Clueless.
Nah, I'm going to be honest. I didn't think. To be honest with you, it changes every year. What, I mean, what do you expect? I'm not in school. That's when you get the. I thought if it was the same day every year, that's my bad.
And like,
it's not the same day every year.
But like on the calendar, it usually says like the holiday. Like I looked at my calendar this morning. Did it say Rosh Hashanah or did I just completely miss that?
Not on the work calendar.
Okay, that's
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going to take a look right now.
Because I looked on our Outlook calendar and I'm pretty sure it didn't say anything this morning.
On the Apple calendar, it does say Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, right.
There's 2 days of it.
There's 2 days of it?
Jeff, remember, Jeff.
Why is there 2 days?
Jeff, our teammate,
said. Is it a night thing? It is a night thing.
He said today is the happy.
This is rough.
Didn't he say today is the happy Rosh Hashanah and tomorrow is the not so happy Rosh Hashanah? That's what he was telling us out there. Are you not listening?
Happy and non-happy.
You weren't listening.
This is news. I didn't know.
You were not listening.
There's a happy and an unhappy Rosh Hashanah?
This guy doesn't listen.
And granted, I'm telling.
I didn't listen to. I don't even know who. Christian said something.
Look at me. I'm telling Colin he doesn't listen, and I'm like not 100% accurate either. So this is a complete.
There's a happy and a sad Rosh Hashanah?
Apparently so.
All I know is the Nepali New Year is celebrated on the second week of April each year. So I'll be expecting a Happy New Year on the second week of April.
Isn't that where Everest is?
What?
Nepal? Isn't that where Everest is?
Yeah.
Christian, is he climbing Everest?
I feel like you should.
No. That's a very dangrous endeavor.
Yeah, people would survive that.
I'd go to base camp. That's something I'd consider. That's like.
And then maybe if someone entices you, come on.
Base camp is like its own hike to begin with.
I don't want you to do Everest. I don't want me to do it. I don't think your
body's on the frozen. No one wants to get them down from
there. And they leave you there.
Hang on, you guys ever seen? Not to make light.
It's also too touristy now. It's too hard to get up. Apparently, it's a big problem.
You guys ever seen Mr. Deeds? I have a big fear of climbing mountains ever since Mr. Deeds' uncle froze to death on the mountain.
Oh, that'd be it would make for pretty cool content. If we've got a radio host who's stuck on Everest. I don't know.
I'm not stuck for that long. I'm going to pass away if I'm, after 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, you got a nice hand warmer. Shake him up real good.
So,
Christian's like
Rosh Hashanah is a holiday of profound duality.
Yeah, like happiness and sadness. I think that's
not the right way to say it.
I think that's what Jeffrey was trying to tell us out there.
Yeah. He said Happy New Year, so
what
I guess it's the happy day.
What do you eat for Rosh Hashanah? A lamb? Eat lamb?
Again, asking the wrong guys.
Is this
we
the
don't
one
have
where
these
you
answers.
Put the, this is bad. But
no, I don't think it is, whatever it is we were about to say.
Yeah, is this the one where you put the stuff on the door? Or is that Passover?
That's Passover. Because the doors got passed over in Egypt. Come on, mate.
That's it.
That's in the Old Testament, too. You should know that.
Yeah.
All right. Story of Moses. I mean, my goodness.
All right.
Your mother is listening in and very disappointed right now.
I'm a New Testament guy. I'm a New Testament guy. We could do that. We could do the New Testament. Old Testament, I'm a little shaky on my memories, on my Sunday school training, nonetheless. Christian, how are you today? You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. really not much notable. Just watching my Ravens lose another football game in front of a national audience. Well, I've come to get used to that, just like the first week of the season.
You don't have a worry about them in the regular season, am I right?
No, they're going to win double-digit games now, and then the lose to either the Chiefs or the Bills.
The question with them is, can they win a big game? The answer to you is right now, no.
Like, they can't win the big game.
The game that they need to win. The game that they haven't won, they need to win.
They'll win. It was concerning because that's a game they normally do win. At home, NFC opponent.
Right.
Have the edge at quarterback. That was a game that they more often than not do win. It just didn't get to enjoy a win.
It's like Groundhog Day for Christian with Penn State and the Ravens, I feel like, right now.
No, we're getting to that with Penn State playing their first big game coming up soon and Yankees playoffs. That's where they do overlap.
I see.
It's always Yankees elimination day and Penn State loses their first game of the season day. They're always either the same day or within a three-day stretch with how the Big Ten calendar normally works.
Penn State and Oregon this weekend, you're going to have an early... unless they beat them. Maybe they'll beat them. I don't know.
I think they beat them.
I can't get a read on either team. I can't get a read on either team. So that's going to be a tight game. We know that for a fact.
Defensively, they have pros all over the field. What, Dante Moore going to go into Beaver Stadium, throw for 5 touchdowns? If he does...
Penn State loses, which game is this game?
It's Ohio State. Yeah. It's at Ohio State.
They lose every big game they play, but I understand.
But it's at Ohio State. Indiana.
They're like the Mets. Penn State is a little bit like the Mets. Penn State's always going to Penn State sometime, and this weekend's a good example.
Oregon at home, Ohio State on the road, home against Indiana. Those are the marquee games for Penn State.
They're going to be Indiana by 3 scores.
I tend to agree with
Indiana's
that.
Indiana's the same thing as last year.
No, they're better than last year. Put some respect on Mendoza.
Illinois.
That guy's going to be a top 5 pick in the draft, Fernando Mendoza. Hello?
As we know, I have a very soft spot for Illinois, but they're not a top 10 team.
I
hate to see it. I've been rooting for Brett and that team for a long time.
Well, speaking of Illinois, let's bring him in. This is one of your co-hosts? No.
This is Mikey and Peoria.
Mikey Peoria. He's called in a number of times.
Longtime listener to Primetime and Peoria and the Jim Matson Show, and now longtime listener of Russo and Rizzo. Mikey, how are you, mate? What do you got?
I'm doing great. Rizzo, I just had to call, first of all, and thank you for the shout-out. Yes, I was indeed listening to you.
I got you, brother. I know you do every day, Mikey. You listen to R&R every day.
Hey, I just want to remind you, though, last time I checked, my diploma says once a Brave, always a Brave.
Yeah.
So I'm not that invested in Bradley
Mikey, yes. Bradley Brave Mikey. Now, Mike, you want to talk about the guards? How about my guards?
Hey, right before I switched over to your show, Jim had mentioned that on July 9th, I think he said, 15 and a half games back.
Right.
It was,
Were 12 games back on August 25th as well. So that's even later in the season, and they were still, you know, double digit games back.
I did hear you mention that. I wanted to take this opportunity after wishing the guards good luck. First of all, disappointed in Rizzo's love fest with the Padres. I get the bullpen, but
Cubby
I wanted
fan.
To ask Rizzo a question, and then I have one other thing to say. Rizzo, I don't remember, so help me out here.
Right.
How many points did you beat Michigan by last year? Because we beat them by 14.
Yeah, Mikey, I got nothing there. I got nothing there for you. Buckeyes, hang on. We got something for him in Ann Arbor this year, though, Mike. I promise you that.
Illinois fan?
Okay. I'm an Illinois fan because my brother went to Illinois, and that's another thing I wanted to do real quick. I wanted to wish my brother Chris, Rizzo may remember,
Army,
he's a retired U.S. Navy commander, and he used to text in all the time from around the globe. And this one, I hope, Colin, you'll get a kick out of this. One time when he was in Saudi Arabia, he's a defense contractor now since retired from the Navy, he sent in pictures from Saudi Arabia of camels just wandering in the desert like moose in the wilderness.
Wow.
And when Rizzo saw those pictures, he about fell out of his chair, just shocked at how he thought he was looking at T-Rexes. And I'll never forget Jim saying, yeah, Rizzo, camels are that big.
Never seen a camel before?
They were bigger than I thought. Boys, they were bigger than I thought. Last thing here, brother. Jimmy, all right? You guys doing good? Half doing all right in Peoria?
Rizzo, the only thing that's not right about Peoria anymore is we don't get to hear you on the air every day unless you're a dedicated follower like I am. I wish Jim would find a slot for you to call in once a week or something.
Listen, Jim's got my number. We text all the time. He could have me call in whenever he wants, brother. I thought of you guys 63-10. That son of a gun ran up the score. Okay, I wish the Buckeyes played Indiana this year so we could give them a proper beating. But my goodness, 63-10, Mike. What a butt kicking.
Yes. Hey, good luck with the guards, and you know it, Rizzo. I'm a fan, always a fan, and I'll never quit you.
Love you, brother. I'll talk to you soon, all right? Give Jimmy my best.
He's gone.
How about that? Good cue on the music, by the way. You had that ready to got rock and roll?
No, honest to God, Mikey and his older brother, too, like he, you know, huge vet, had very important person in the armed forces. So, like, they were great listeners every day.
And you never seen a Campbell before?
Colin, they were huge.
I know Campbell's a big. I know they're
like
big.
I did not expect it to be that massive.
Are they like a dog sized?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I grew up going to the zoo and whatnot. The camel exhibit must have not just been there because those things were big. They were bigger than the one I was looking at was bigger than a horse. Mm. Now horses are big.
They are bigger than horses. They're taller.
Moose are bigger.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I've never seen a moose in person, but those are bigger.
Speaking of, I guess it's the Peoria hour. Happy and his dad, they had to like pull off the side of the road because the damn moose was just sitting in the middle of the road and it was the size of this room.
Yeah, and they'll kill you if they get an opportunity.
They'll kill you. They're herbivores, no?
They'll kill you.
Off of territory, not to hunt you, but correct. To territory.
They'll stampede you and throw your horns. You end up with a horn
to the
chest. And
they'll tune up your car, too. Your car.
And that's what they were explaining to me. They had to like hightail it out of there because they had to back up.
They'll tune up your car.
Yeah.
We had a little 5-on-5. We'll do that on the other side. Stick around. Fort Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Oh, no.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
A couple days into fall, officially, it's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Post week 3 of the NFL, post week 4 college football, the last week of the regular season for MLB. And also the Ryder Cup coming up this weekend. And the USA and the Europe having a little bit of jawing back and forth. We'll get into that a little later on, of course. But Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass at the City Place Studios. If you missed any of the program today, listen back. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, just search up Russo and Rizzo. Let's get to it. Let's do a little 5-5. First, Christian, talking about greatness, we're looking for greatness from the Americans this weekend in the Ryder Cup. But if you're looking to get maybe better golf, if you're looking to see what greatness really is, look no further than the Kaiser Seahawks athletic program.
I tell you what. If the United States of America Ryder Cup team does not take care of home field this year, I think I'm like two more lessons away from representing our nation in 2027.
They're looking for people with pride.
And I've got it. And I've got golf skills now. Thank you to the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They've got the facilities, tools, coaching you need. The best facilities in the area to get your golf game right. Both outdoor with their range, with the practice bunkers, the chipping putting green. It's outside. It's also inside. Listen, these afternoon showers, hurricane season, it's affecting everybody. It's affecting your golf practicing as well. But not if you're at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. You can bring the party inside, have video analysis, see why exactly you are hitting a snap hook, why exactly you're slicing the ball. It's all at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. I've got my next lesson tomorrow, actually Thursday, where Coach Pete and I are going to go through my driver a little bit and try to get a little more consistency with the long stick. It's all at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. It's right in the heart of Palm Beach County, right off of I-95, off the turnpike on South Military Trail in Okeechobee. You got to go there to get your golf game right.
Let's get to it. Let's have a little fun. Let's bounce around. 5-5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking big time.
It's time for The 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number 1.
We'll start right with the golf stuff because, yes, the Ryder Cup starts on Friday. The opening ceremony was changed due to weather. But Bryson DeChambeau, he'll be one of the Americans who's on the Ryder Cup team. He earned his way there with points, performing well in the majors that he qualified for, not on the PGA Tour anymore, so he truly did deserve to be on there. Randall Shambly is a Golf Channel analyst, pontificator, analyzer. Randall Shambly apparently doesn't like Bryson DeChambeau. Take a listen to what he had to say regarding one of the guys representing the U.S. of A.
I thought it was pretty poignant there when he asked about the retort of Rory that he didn't mention the goal this week of a Ryder Cup. Nope, he didn't do that. He didn't talk about playing on a team and how much that meant. Nope, he didn't do that. What he did do was talk about his YouTube channel, which, you know, if we want to talk about the numbers that are generated from that, it's pretty dubious. I have no doubt that bots are generating a lot of those views. There may be some interest as well, but that's what he wants to talk about, not the team, not the Ryder Cup. And this is one of the reasons why I think he's going to be such a difficult person to get paired with. No doubt he's one hell of a golfer. No doubt he has his moments of generosity with fans. I've heard about him. But he's an odd duck when he's trying to blend in with the team, and he has so many potential bulletin board mistakes, and I think he would be a captain's nightmare.
Captain's nightmare to wrap it up from Randall Shambly when regarding Bryson DeChambeau and the YouTube and the talking with the fans. Was that uncalled for? Did it strike you odd that American, again, this is not one of those Randall Shambly is from London and he cares about the European team.
He's a former golfer too.
He's an American former golfer that probably, if you were to be biased one way or another before the USA, did you care about that?
I think this is totally uncalled for, completely out of left field. There is one thing to critique the United States players for not playing for pride of country. That has been the sort of the critique of the Americans in the Ryder Cup the last couple of times this has happened.
They're now getting paid, and Europe is not getting paid to compete this weekend.
Right. So and they're all, a number of them at least, are donating it to charity to try to look good. But, you know, the point is, that's been the biggest knock has been, these Americans don't play for pride of country. Joe Fortenbaugh joined the program a couple of weeks ago, and he said, take Europe right now because the United States will not understand that they are playing for America, not themselves. There's an argument to be made there. So the beginning part of what Shambly was saying in regard to DeChambeau, I didn't even think was that far out of left field. He's not mentioning the team, but then he starts going in about his YouTube channel and going the validity of his YouTube channel and how
the Russian bots,
exactly. How he's lying to everybody about the public interest, basically alluding that nobody cares.
That was a questionable call by Brandon Shambly for talking about Russian bots.
The best was he's like, you know, that's AI generated, you know, or maybe there is actually some buzz with the channel. Which one is it, brother?
Yeah, and you can't talk about a captain's nightmare too because he's good at golf. And he's going to be a dangerous player for them. He's going to be a late or an early send-off on the singles on Sunday. He will be available.
Bryson Steele, this guy's girlfriend? Like, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like some petty beef.
Number 2.
Let's go to Major League Baseball. We still got about 6 days to go in the regular season. A lot of races still to be decided. But this league's going to look a little bit different in 2026 because Major League Baseball has approved it. Implemented it in 2026. Automatic balls and strikes challenges will be implemented in Major League Baseball. The robo umps are coming. Each team will get 2 challenges in their games. If they get it right and the umpire was wrong, they get to retain their challenge. Are you happy that we are finally implementing automatic balls and strikes at any level?
Yeah, there was over 1,000 calls that were got wrong. I think that's what Jeff Passan reported today. Of ESPN.com. Part of me thinks that baseball is losing a little bit of its livelihood with the umpires, but the umpires, I dare I say, they've gotten a little worse in the past couple of years. Now the fact that this is available and doable, all you're going to be doing is thinking, what if? Wait till this a bad umpire decides a playoff game and we're all going to be clamoring for it.
Right.
So from right here, it's the right move. It is the right move to decide games properly. But, you know, umpires, at least behind the plate, were a big part of baseball.
Well, a lot of people think I'm dead wrong for this, but I'm ready for the umps to have an earpiece and be told if it's a ball or a strike. They can't be making calls behind the plate anymore.
I think
I'm
they should be like crossing guards.
I'm done with that.
Yeah. Like they have a vest on and they deliver what
just
the call
for the
is.
Look, just so they can fake it. So, hey, we still got the umpire back there.
Yeah, like the guards in front of Big Ben. What are they called? The British people that have the red coats on and the big hats and a fake rifle.
Yeah.
They're just there for formalities these days.
His Majesty's Guard. I think that, like, you know, umps are still going to have a role in college baseball and you know, travel baseball.
But there's also a little bit of authority that's now provided to this, which is good.
This is the MLB.
You're going to check him now.
Hey, make sure you lay off the outside stuff. No! A ball is a ball and a strike is a strike. I never took that serious. And listen, if you want to sit here and tell me how wrong I am, and that's baseball, of an umpire calling a tight strike zone and calling the outside stuff, I'll listen to that. But in the end of the day, I want a ball to be a ball and a strike to be a strike. And it's time that we make the software and the program where the ump has the earpiece in and is told a ball or a strike. It's not that hard, guys.
Number three.
After 21 seasons with Oklahoma State football, Mike Gundy has been fired after brutal back-to-back losses, a 69-3 loss to Oregon, a 19-12 loss to in-state perceived little brother Tulsa. Mike Gundy fired from Oklahoma State. He was one of the longest tenured head coaches in college football. Are you surprised he got the can mid-season by the Pokes?
I am, because been there for 20 years.
Right.
You'd think that, you know, unless you have somebody internally that you really want to give a rip, or he's really not sitting well with the players, and you're getting a sense that it's tumbling downward. I don't necessarily, they stink, but if you're getting that sense, then make a move. But other than that, my opinion is sort of owe him the due diligence of letting him finish out the season. Make it. You can announce it. Hey, this is going to be his last season before we move on. That would have been a little bit more honorable of a way to do it. But they're terrible, so I understand it. But unless there's somebody internally that you want to get a rip, I don't understand why you do this midseason.
Colin hit the nail on the head. I thought maybe after so many years that they'd wait till the end of the year. Listen, you lost to Oregon 69-3, and you just lost to Tulsa. Season's over. Why not let him finish out the season and end with some dignity? I don't know. I thought this was a tough look, and honestly, it's bothering me. I mean, a guy who really built the program. With all due respect to Barry Sanders, I know they were great way back when, but that guy built the program back up to what it was. I understand it's in the gutter right now, but I thought they owed it to Gundy.
Do you think there's something to not adjusting to the new age of paying your players?
Probably.
You see guys like Dabo, old school, struggling. Now, Mike Gundy, old school, struggling. And also, it's not that much money in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
I feel like that's why Nick Saban left too. Saban didn't want to deal with the new NIL and the new college football. He did for a little bit. Give him credit.
17 straight bowl games. And then he didn't get one last year, and then they got rid of him after three games this year.
They were an inch from being in the college football playoff in 2021.
2021. That was it when they were 12-2.
Correct. And then, you know, that's why I said it's not sitting well with me. A guy who built that program to what it was.
Yeah, it's completely unfair.
Stinks.
You get the 17 straight bowl games outside of your first year and your last year. The least you could do is announce, hey, we're moving on from Gundy after this year.
Put it on me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
That's ridiculous.
That was really good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That was like, wait a second. Like that sounded exactly like
I know. I'm pretty good at impressions. I got my moments.
Sounded just like this.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
That was like exact. Like I thought I accidentally clicked on it.
Well done.
What are we on? Four?
Number four.
Hey, news in the NFL earlier today. It was announced that the New York Football Giants are going to start their rookie from Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, for their Week 4 game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Are you surprised by the move?
I'm surprised by the timing. I am. I didn't think they would do this. I know Mike was in favor of this. I personally think this is a move that bad franchises make when you're this is a panic move. This is. And this is a last-ditch effort. You know, this is what the Bears did when they threw in Justin Fields to replace Andy Dalton, and he got banged around for his entire rookie season. And he made an argument that he never really got comfortable ever since, and he made his way out of Chicago soon after that. I don't know if this is going to be exactly like that, but, I mean, They got rid of Nagy right after that. Their chances are you're getting rid of Dable after this season. They're not making the postseason. They're most likely not, especially with that terrible schedule. I don't know what point they need to see in order to keep Dable and Shane around. If they allowed him to sort of sit on the bench and, you know, they had their moments. Weirdly enough, I actually thought that there would have been a moment where they could allow them to get another year. But with this panic move, this tells you that internally there's pressure. Externally, we know there's pressure. Hey, if our veteran quarterback couldn't get this done against with this offense against the Kansas City Chiefs, let's get our unproven guy in there who's raw talent. We'll see what he does. So maybe he surprises me. I don't think this is the right move. I think this is going to hurt the player in the long run. This is a move that bad franchises make. That'll be my finish.
They had no choice, and I think it's the right move at this point. We don't need to see Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is who you go to if Dart throws 6-7 interceptions, then you dug your own grave. I'll give Kyle this. This kid comes in and stinks.
Everything is changing.
Correct. There is no saving your job. All right, you're done.
But here's the thing. This is why this is not fair.
Jameis is the backup to the backup plan.
If Dart comes in and stinks, who are we going to look at? What, are you going to blame Dart? He came in when he wasn't ready. The fans pressured the coach to get him in. The coach is going to get fired. We're going to blame this kid for going against the number four defense in the NFL and stinking and then playing the defending champions twice in 3 weeks. And if he is terrible, we can't say that anymore. That's not fair. You can't blame Dart. He could save Dable's job. He could end his job. But you can't blame him because everybody knows he's being thrusted in there probably too early. I think everybody's on that same page. Probably this is not the initial plan. Now you can't. We can't be. This is where I'll have a problem. If Dable gets fired, I think he'll last the whole year. Let's say he gets fired midseason, and Dart is not that good. Dart all of a sudden is now going to have 3 head coaches in 6 months because they're probably going to hire elsewhere. And if he's not good, you're going to be people clamoring saying he's not the guy. Oh, he's not the guy. He's not the guy. That's not. It was not a fair situation that he was thrust into. That is where this conversation is heading, and that's going to drive me crazy because this was an avoidable issue. You didn't play him too early. You see what I'm trying to say there? Like,
sure.
We're going to be, then all of a sudden, Dable's out of town. You need a new scapegoat. All eyes on the rookie quarterback. That's where this is going to be. That's where this is heading.
It's similar to Caleb Williams.
This is what happened with Justin Fields.
It's similar to what's been going on in Chicago to that point. But I say Dable, Sheen, they forced this hand.
Draft a quarterback to save your job.
And then also you paid Daniel Jones, and then you got rid of Daniel Jones. And then you looked at the market and you saw, oh, crap, it's Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston. And then you looked at the quarterbacks in the draft and said, oh, crap, they're not that good. And you had to settle for Jackson Dart at 20.
Well, the thing is, we can't conclude that they're going to settle for Dart if Dart goes into New York when he's not ready against a brutal schedule with a bad offense and struggles.
But I think
is that really his fault?
It's not, but I think Dart could surprise some people. I do. I think Dart could actually be pretty good.
But that's what we have to stay. We have to stay there.
I do.
We have to stay there. We can't turn around now and throw all the books at and read Dart the Riot Act if he struggles for 3 games. We can't do that. That's not fair.
Here's the thing. I say Penix stinks now. He had games last season.
And he's had 8 games in his career.
Okay. But, like, I make these proclamations after you see them for more than 7 games, 6 games. You know what I mean? So, like, Dart, if we're into week 15 and the kid is still struggling, I think it'd be fair to say, listen, all right, might have to have some – might be drafting a quarterback in New York coming up this year.
Well, you're going to get 2 first-round quarterbacks. That's exactly if he shows what bad you, franchises but
you
have, do.
You drafted Abdul Carter. You drafted Abdul Carter,
but
too.
Used the first-round pick on him. I understand.
But also, the new GM, Kyle, will probably want to come in and get his guy regardless, unless Jackson Dart shows you something.
That's why this is a problem.
But if Dart shows you something – that's great. You got your quarterback for the next year and hopefully for the future. They got strong-armed into this position because listen, we can agree to disagree on Wilson. That guy stinks. All right, he's Hall of Fame quarterback. He's Hall of Fame quarterback. Let's give him his credit.
Oh, the Hall of Famer struggled in this offense. Let's throw in the raw talent rookie and everything's going to change.
But a Hall of Famer who's well past it.
Fine.
We agree on that.
Fine.
And then I rather see Jackson Dart than Winston. Like I said, Winston's the guy. But
that's not the best thing for his career.
But we've seen, and I know you're on the side of rookies. Put him on the back burner. Let him sit. Let him learn. There are those cases where it works immediately. Maybe this is that case. And guess what? Dable and Shane have no choice now. They have no choice, well, though, that this guy
is the guy. They did have a choice until they made this decision. No, yeah, I mean, now you can now you're
in. I tried to tell both you and Christian, in. There's a difference between saying, oh, it's okay if the Giants are being 0-4, than the Giants actually being 0-4. You know what I mean? It's okay for for Sheen and Dable to go, listen, we might be 0-4. There's a difference of telling the owner that in March and then actually being 0-4 and him hearing the pressure from his buddies and the fans. It's a big difference there. That's why they got to play Dart. Dart's the first-round pick. He could come in and be electric in a bottle and save their jobs. Jameis Winston won't do that.
That is the best situation for them. That's the only chance that they have is if he is any good. But even if he's solid and the team stinks, they're out. They're out.
To put a bow on what I'm trying to explain here, Dart could come in, win 8 games, and save their job. Winston, if you play Winston and keep playing Wilson, you're losing your job. The only thing that is going to save your job is a young quarterback looking good.
I don't know if I would say that.
You're 0-3 already.
I wouldn't say that.
But here's the thing. You're 0-3 already.
The rookie quarterback's not ready. This is our guy that we drafted. You're going to fire me before you even give the kid a chance?
The NFL is a tough business, dude.
That's not fair.
And it's not fair. You're right. The NFL is not fair.
And he doesn't fire guys midseason. I'd make the argument today that they're not getting fired midseason.
I personally think that Dable and Sheen should have never even been able to allow to draft.
Well,
now they're allowed
to. This is what bad franchises do.
Correct. And the only way to save their jobs at this point is college.
You can make an argument that bad move number one was bringing them back. Bad move number 2 and 3 was ditching the whole system after 3 games. And then bad move number 3, the one after that, it's going to be when you eventually get rid of the coach, and then all of a sudden all the scapegoating is on the rookie quarterback who was thrown into a brutal schedule with an offense that's not ready to accommodate his needs. And all of a sudden when they stink, if they do, and if he's not, doesn't play amazing, look around the NFL, see how many great young quarterbacks have been consistently great. And, I mean, if that's the case, and we start looking, oh, he's not the guy. Talk about not getting a fair shot. That's when you get another Sam Darnold, the Daniel Jones, going out of New York and seeing success. That's why you continue to
I'll
see
that. I do.
That's why you continue to see that.
But these guys had no choice but to play Dart. They were losing their
waited.
Jobs.
You could have waited.
They were if they're 0-6, they were 0-6, they're not, and they plan on playing the rookie after week 7, they're not going to be there anymore. They don't win a game, they wouldn't be there anymore. This is the move to save their jobs. I totally get what you're saying.
Number 5.
We've got some grade A5 Wagyu beef drama in the SEC.
Oh, I love it.
Biggest game of the weekend, maybe, in the SEC comes between number 4, LSU, and number 13, Ole Miss. Who's the best player on the defensive side of the football for LSU? This guy named Whit Weeks. Who's the head coach for Ole Miss? Lane Kiffin. Of course we know Lane Kiffin from the former FAU head coach. Well, Instagram official. Lane Kiffin's daughter, Landry Kiffin, just posted a picture with Whit Weeks, starting linebacker for the LSU Tigers, saying that they're in a relationship of the week leading up to LSU versus Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin has retorted saying, take the over in the game, indicating Ole Miss is going to put up a whole lot of points on that LSU defense that features his daughter's boyfriend. Who do you think has the mental high ground here going into Saturday? The father of the daughter that Whit Weeks is dating, or Whit Weeks, captain of the LSU defense, dating the daughter of the head coach of the team he's about to play?
You know, Lane's a bizarre person because he goes on Twitter, on his personal Twitter, which he's very active on.
Lovely.
And he responds to one of the tweets talking about this, and he goes, take the over. That's what he says. He goes, take the over.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, dude, this is too much. You are an oddball to begin with, and now you're doing it like this. But the one thing is, don't ever bet against the father's rage. I would take Ole Miss in this game.
Yeah, by the way, for the record, love Lane Kiffin. Love the move that he said, you know, to take the over. Absolutely. He's trying to score as many points on that defense that's dating daddy's little girl. Give me Ole Miss and the running Rebels to possibly shock the nation.
I don't know if I like this move from Landry, to be honest. His daughter. What are you trying to do?
Is it sad? Maybe it's sabotage. Maybe the Kiffins are sabotaging and LSU. You think of it that way?
There's an entire other layer to this where Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, there's an E60 special airing on ESPN. And it's detailing a documentary on Lane Kiffin and his life as a head coach. And that same daughter, Landry Kiffin, who posted a picture with the LSU opposing linebacker the week of the LSU-Ole Miss game, apparently recorded a video telling her dad she wants to stay in Mississippi. Do not take at then vacant Auburn job. So, like, this little girl who's now a college girl is integral in Lane Kiffin still being the Ole Miss head football coach.
Kyle,
a lot of layers.
Christian, I'm not going to look into what a 19-year-old girl is doing. You know what I mean? Like, they change their mind. Do you have sisters? I had a little sister. They change their mind on a whim. They say one thing, and then an hour later, they didn't mean it. You know what I mean? So, like, dude, it's tough being a father. It's tough. And I'm sure Lane didn't take the, you know. There's more implications of Lane staying at Ole Miss. I think a lot of it had to do with money. But it's
job security, too.
Certainly something that certainly something that piqued my interest is, what is it, E60?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly
7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Certainly something that piqued my interest, but you can't take, you know, what a 19-year-old girl says for face value. Yeah, she wants to stay in Ole Miss till she meets the love of her life at you know, in Louisiana. Now, guess what? She wants to head to coach at LSU. Got to get Moneybags Brian Kelly out of a job now.
Streets are saying that Lane Kiffin's going to lead the Florida Gators to a title.
Well, he had a chance. He would have done that.
Time out.
The rumor was.
The kids are going to be out of the house at this point. Remember that.
Hashtag fans with sources. The rumor was that Kiffin was offered the Florida job, said no, and that's why they rode out with Napier. Like I said, fans with sources. Take it for what it is.
He's not taking that job. It's too much pressure.
It's easier to leave your job and uproot your family when the kids are away at school or out of the house.
Yeah, but it's a lot harder to coach the Florida Gators than it is coach Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Depending on who you ask, different expectations.
I mean, yeah, there it is. You hit it. That's the problem. He wins, you know, 9 games at Ole Miss, he's okay. He wins 9 games at Florida. You do that a couple times, you're out of there.
I got an argument with my buddies about this, about what are great jobs in college football.
There's an argument. There's certain people that are cut for the Alabamas and the Notre Dames of the world, and there's certain people that are going to be nice and happy at their Ole Misses where they could win their 8-9 games and be okay.
Like, it'd be nice to be Mike Gundy before he got fired, right? Just contending for the Big 12 is enough to keep your job.
Kyle Whittingham at Utah.
Guys, yeah. The best job is Coach Stoops at Kentucky. Guy makes more money than almost any other SEC coach.
And they got a great program in basketball that doesn't necessarily
correct.
Keep
and them, they're yeah. fine with winning their 7 games a year, going to a bowl game and staying 500 in the SEC. They're completely okay with it.
But yeah. Then people would say you want the Alabama head coaching job because that probably is the best chance at winning a national title or Ohio State.
Ask Kalen DeBoer how that Alabama job.
And there's people
going.
And there are coaches out there who are very comfortable at where they're at comparatively than jumping to a big program with a lot of expectations surrounding it just off of like job security.
It's
I could go here, I'm going to make $6 million. Brent Key at Georgia Tech is sitting there thinking, well, I'm at Georgia Tech. If I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave for a job that not only I think I could win at, but number two, where I'm not going to be, you know, kicked out of town after 2.5 years. That's the key. That's why he'll be a good hire, an interesting hire, if he were to leave. That's Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, Colin Russo. That was our 5 at 5. You can listen in on the ESPN South Florida app, which is available now on the App Store. That's Theoretically Speaking, which is 2 to 4 weekdays. You can catch all that there. Catch all of us, Russo and Rizzo. Catch our specialty programming, including the Inter-Miami English and Spanish broadcast. You can catch our high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. That's on Friday nights as well. Listen from anywhere on the phone, free to download on the App Store, the ESPN South Florida app. We'll close out the program next. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Oklahoma's quarterback John Mateer down for the count, at least for the foreseeable future, with a hand surgery he underwent today. Supposed to come back at some point this season. But all this college football talk, all this college football buzz got me kind of boiling up for bowl season, which is on the way, huh?
Absolutely. And we got the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl coming up in Boca, Florida, 90 days out. You can get your tickets by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. That is BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. You can follow them on Instagram at Boca Bowl. You can follow them on X at Boca Bowl. And then on Facebook, Boca Raton Bowl. But it's the 12th annual Boca Raton Bowl at Flagler Credit Union Stadium, December 23rd. You can get your tickets by going to BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets. Get signed up for the pre-sale sign-up. BocaRatonBowl.com/tickets, 90 days away from Tuesday, December 23rd in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. And also, we got Boca Bowl Weekly. with myself live at the City Place studio coming up next. So stay tuned. Talking a little college ball.
That's coming up right after this. And of course, if you missed any of today's program, you want to listen back, go listen on Russo and Rizzo, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch it back on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X on our live stream, where we live stream every show weekdays. You can catch that right here. Appreciate everybody staying aboard with us on a Wednesday or a Tuesday edition of the program, excuse me, 2025, September the 23rd. We got a lot to talk about, especially with this huge weekend up about. We still got a lot more Ryder Cup picks coming up, the MLB. The bulk of those the second to last series of the year starts tonight, including the Tigers and the Guardians, which is sort of playing for their playoff lives. At this point, you get Blue Jays, Red Sox as well, highlighting it as we inch closer to the end of it there. You got a big college football weekend ahead, and you got a lot more of us coming up tomorrow, which you can catch us 4 to 6 p.m. Weekly. Big thanks to Christian Kapp for keeping us up over the air. That's Mike Rizzo. I'm Colin Russo saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow right here, same spot, 4 to 6 p.m. ESPN 106.3.